Jennings' injury is such that it kind of flared up on him again in the game. He could not open up all the way into full stride was the concern. So I would think we're back where we were, a couple weeks ago. We'll see how he is Wednesday. We'll go through the rehab process and then we'll learn more there.
So you're not at the point where you might think about just shutting him down for a week to make sure that thing's right, or you want to just check it later this week?
That's definitely an option. I mean, that's definitely an option because we feel like we've kind of, the same thing's happened to him now twice.
Mike, do you get a roster exemption for Mike Neal to practice this week?
Correct. We have a 1 week roster exemption for Mike Neal.
What are you going to look for this week?
What's the first one?
What will you look for to know, whether he can step in and play after being gone for a while?
Well, I think it's very important for Mike Neal to go through a week's practice. We need to see where he is. We know Mike's been working out, I'm sure. I have not seen him yet personally, but just knowing Mike as far as his training habits, he's always in top shape. But it's different. He hasn't been practicing football for 4 weeks. So we will take him through the full week and see where he is.
How did those other receivers play with Greg out? It seemed like it was one of their better games.
I thought the receiver group as a whole played well. They graded out very well. I thought the intensity and I thought we were physical much more than we were the prior week. So that was an emphasis. I know Edgar Bennett was pleased with the way they responded. But more importantly, it was the pace and the tempo, the timing that we were looking for. So I felt that Aaron and the receivers definitely were clicking.
Mike, I don't know if you had any interaction with Coach Pagano, or what's your reaction to
this call? My heart goes out to Chuck Pagano and his family. I know probably as much as you do. So I do not know Chuck on a personal level. But, our support for him is definitely will be there. And, we're wishing him well.
It sounds like he kind of realized that something was wrong in terms of fatigue and stuff. Like, I know this isn't a issue that he has that's the result of working too hard or anything like that, but as a head coach, do you have to be kind of in tune with how you're feeling and stuff? I mean, the amount of hours you guys put in and the stress you guys are under?
Well, I think everybody does. We have coaches' physicals that we go through every March. It's something our organization does a great job with, providing us with that, with the care, not only in March, but throughout the season. We have doctors here to see the team, 3 days a week. So anytime, one of our coaches or somebody needs something, we feel like we have, the best resources, and especially, the town of Green Bay. It may be small, but the medical resources are abundant, and they're right at our fingertips.
Like, are there any challenges unique to your schedule with the three games in a row on the road? I know they're all Sundays and you got 4 weeks, but just in preparing for that stretch, it's a little bit of an unusual stretch.
Well, every year when a schedule comes out, you always look at certain things, and it usually doesn't amount to anything as far as like who you play, when you play them. But the two things that jumped out this year about this year's schedule was the first four games, how out of balance it was as far as, a lot of preparation time for week one, short week, then a long week, and then another short week. So I knew that was going to be a challenge, and it was. But the one that really stood out to me was three road games. I don't think in my time in the league that I've experienced that. So we start practicing with crowd noise all the way back in the spring, so it's something we spend a lot of time with. But that'll be our main focus. And you may adjust some things schematically, what you would do on the road as opposed to home. That'll be no different. We just got to do it 3 weeks in a row.
Like, how severe is MD Jennings' shoulders?
Well, talking with the medical staff last night and even again today, there's not a high level of concern. But you know how it is. We'll see how he feels tomorrow, and We'll test them before we put them on the field.
How much did that hurt you guys in terms of your game plan? Because it sure looked like you guys wanted to go seven DBs for a good chunk there.
Well, if you look at the way the defensive game plan and the performance, the way it's sorted out, their Saints are a very up-tempo offense. We got into the dollar package, the seven DBs, and frankly, we weren't as crisp and in sync as we would have liked. Whether it was the communication and from the sideline, just the whole mechanics of everything was not as clean as we would have liked. And frankly, we got out of it because I think we were probably one out of eight or 0-7 somewhere in there. As far as winning it down. So, but. Looking back on it, it's a good experience. We're putting more responsibility on our young guys. I'm talking about Casey and McMillan. So that's something that we can grow from. But we have to be smart about it, too.
Speaking of communication, was there an issue with, the microphone or the ear thing and the helmet? It just looked like they were watching it on TV later. It looked like there were a lot of times where the guys were kind of yelling to the sideline or something.
We were not in tune. We changed who had the headset on, and it's just I think sometimes that stuff maybe may look a lot easier than it is. So it's a little different. You got somebody in your helmet, in your ear, and then you got to communicate it. The timing of it and the whole pace of it. So it's definitely something we can learn from.
You've talked before about the difficult decision when you have more healthy guys than what you have active roster spots for, but. James Starkford's limbs are probable. DJ Williams, the week prior, played more than 50% of your offense. I guess were those two guys that you really were trying to find a way to get in, or how do you see that moving forward?
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's the product of having a healthy football team. Going from 53 to 46 is difficult when you have healthy bodies, and that's why it's so important for guys that are they hurt or are they injured? Because there's nothing. There's nothing worse than going with a guy that you think is going to play the whole game, and he doesn't. He plays 10 snaps, and then you have two or three, four or five healthy individuals on the sideline in sweatpants. So that's why every week is a challenge, and those decisions really come down to special teams when it's one guy over the other. The determining factor, 99% of the time is special teams.
Do you think it could be well with Mark Starks? Beyond just healthy, but playing?
Well, that is answered during the course of the week. The way we do it here is, we tell our 53 guys, and we'll go through this process tonight and again tomorrow, and then make sure it's set for 7 a.m. in our staff meeting on Wednesday. We'll have the players that we feel really good about being up, and then there'll probably be, probably 12, 10, somewhere in their names on the other side of the board, and there'll be three or four guys competing with somebody else to get up that week. So so that's something that's why we're always moving our reps and preparation around during the course of the week. We don't ever start a game plan on Monday and say these 46 guys are playing this week because, sometimes things happen. People get sick at the end of the week. Things happen. So if you give one guy all the snaps and you don't give – his backup any of the snaps and something happens Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, you really didn't do a very good job preparing the guy that's playing in the game.
Two more. After the challenge on the ball caught by Graham.
Correct.
What did Triple, how did he explain that to you?
He said he never lost control of the football. So.
Can you see it now when you study your tape today that he had a case?
I mean, why are you even asking me these questions about officials? I mean, I think I'd get a pass on that kind of stuff. I saw what you saw. I mean, that's why I challenged it. Frankly, I still almost didn't challenge it because when I challenged Jordy Nelson's catch, I regretted it. It was early in the game. I saw a picture on it. I did it totally on my own. I saw a clean picture on the Jumbotron from an angle where, the ball did not hit the ground. And when I challenged it, I immediately saw the second picture, and I knew it wasn't going to be overturned because when he extended the catch, obviously part of the ball hit the ground. So with that being said, it was the first series of the second half. We had a one-touchdown lead, and because I had talked about it at halftime, how, I only had one challenge left, and, with their offense, this thing can come down to the end of the game. So even with Jimmy Graham's catch, I was very hesitant to throw the challenge, and they had it on the scoreboard immediately. So and it was and that was a good challenge. If I so, but my regret was over challenging Jordy Nelson's, because even if I would have won the Jimmy Graham challenge, we would have been out of challenges. So I was that's why I threw it so late. But as far as do I think it was right or wrong? I mean, obviously I thought it was the right challenge, or I wouldn't have challenged it. So, but that to me, that was a big management decision that really could have hurt us, because we obviously needed it later on the Sproles fumble, and that's football.
So you win the Graham challenge, and you don't get another chance to challenge.
You get two challenges. Okay. If you win both of them, you get a third.
Mike, was there any communication on the Sproles fumble that if you had a challenge, what would have happened? Because I just wanted to. Is there any communication with the regular refs back about?
Well, there was a ton of communication right there. So I mean, and it was about getting it right, and they want to talk about whistles and all that other stuff, but it was about getting the thing right. Because I mean, that was an obvious fumble that was blown dead, and that's. That happens, but if I'd had the challenge, I think the result would have been different.
Desmond comes out of the pile with the ball,
He clearly had the ball, so which is important, and the players are trained to do that. If you get it, any time that situation occurs, you always got to come out of the, because it has to be clear cut that they had the ball and you give it to the official, because they will not overturn it, the ball that is blown dead there, so. So our players did everything right.
Mike, BJ and Charles were obviously emotional, got caught up in some plays there. Have you had a chance to talk to those guys about maybe what?
I haven't talked to Charles because I missed him today. We were in meetings all day, but I saw BJ. So.
You okay with her?
Well, I mean, personal fouls are, I mean, really, one BJ needs to learn from him. I mean, he's fortunate he didn't get thrown out of the game. So, I mean, it's competitive. They're in there fighting, and sometimes it gets to you, and it's your responsibility. Also, it's the responsibility of your teammates. But, I mean, you got to watch that stuff. I mean, because to lose B.J. Raji at that point in the game, would definitely have compromised our defense.
Mike,